Thank you.
We're doing a series on the parables of Jesus, and so this morning we're looking at the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, verses 14 and following. Hear these words of Jesus as he teaches on the kingdom of God. Jesus said this, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put the money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5 and said, 'Master, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' The man with 2 talents also came and said, 'Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. The master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' Then the man who had received 1 talent came and said, 'Master, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. So here is what belongs to you.' His master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I'd harvest where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put the money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have at least have received interest also. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who had 10, for those who will be given more, and they will have an abundance. As for those who do not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth." Here ends the reading. May the Lord bless it to our hearts and minds today. We're talking about the parable of the talents this morning. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this farmer who was driving down the road with a wagon load of fertilizer. He passed this one house, and there was a little boy in the front of the house who saw the wagon load of fertilizer and said, "What do you got on the wagon?" "Fertilizer," the farmer replied. The boy said, "Well, what are you going to do with it?" The farmer said, "I'm going to put it on strawberries." The little boy thought about that for a minute and said, "You know, you ought to live here. We put sugar and cream on ours." I don't think that has anything to do with the message this morning, but other than it's about using what we have for good purposes, but it's good to get started with something a little humorous. Well, we've been looking at the parables of Jesus. We've looked at the parable of the sower and the seeds, and we've looked at the parable of the lost son, and this morning we're looking at this famous parable, the parable of the talents. I invited you to listen with an open heart. And really, I want to think about 4 words this morning when we think about giving and all that we have. And those 4 words are planned, proportional, purposeful, and positive. The sort of P's that make it hard to maybe say fast, but good to remember. Planned, proportional, purposeful, and positive. But really, to think about how we give and in some sense how we receive. And you know the story. When you think about first about being planned, you know, when you have something that's really valuable, you're intentional about what you do with it. You plan out how you're going to give and what's going to happen to that. And when you look at this story of the talents, I know sometimes we look at that and we think, well, gee, things don't seem really equal. And if you're like me, I always felt sorry for the servant who received 1 talent. I thought, you know, I mean, that's kind of like me. There's only someone who can sing better. I left my microphone on during the service so you can be accidentally during one of the songs, so you can be assured I'm not Elvis Presley. But in any case, you look at people and you think, well, other people have more talents. But here's the fact of the matter. A talent was a unit of money that was worth 10,000 denarii. Now, a denarii was one day's wages. If you multiply that out, that's between 25 and 30 years worth of wages. Today, that would be over $1 million. So it was a bag of gold that was worth a lot of money. So you probably don't feel sorry for any millionaires just because someone else has a few more $1 million. So the point is that no matter what we have, we've all been blessed with something. And when you look at a lifetime, which is a good sort of unit to look at that, you think of we have a lifetime. We have a lifetime, we think about our time and our treasure and our talents. And all of us have been blessed in so many ways richly with abundance from God. And one of the things to notice is that it wasn't really the possession of any of the servants. It was the master's possessions that he gave to each of the servants. And when you look at that, you realize that all of us really have been given the gift of life by God. And God has blessed us with different talents, with different time, with different financial resources. We all have time, treasure, and talents. And what we do with that is a gift back to God. And it's appropriate this morning when we think about the memory of those who have gone before us, and we think of their lifetime. How did they bless us in generations to go from generation to generation with their time, which is a tremendous legacy, with their treasure and with their talents that they've given to God and blessed our lives with. And so those all those things are treasures that God has given each and every one of us in our lives, and how we use them is a gift back to God. I talked about before how I think Rick Warren does a nice job in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, about thinking about our life in a sense using the word shape. So each word letter stands for something. S stands for our spiritual gifts. So all of us have been given different spiritual gifts. And then H stands for heart. We all have a passion. We have a heart for something. What is that? And then there's the A that stands for abilities, our natural abilities. And there's a range of abilities. Some of us are musical, some of us are great at accounting. There's all kinds of different natural abilities that we have. P is our personality. And some people are creative and other people are very organized. And then we think also of E is our experience. Not just our good experience, our education and all that we've been through, but also our challenges and adversities. Because many times our difficulties and adversity we have gone through, when we've gone through that and we've been ministered by others, it becomes our own ministry that we give back to others. And all of us, if you know a loved one who's gotten news that they have cancer, the first person that they look to oftentimes is a person who's been through that challenge and faced that or lost a loved one in that the same way. And so when we go through that, we all have time, treasure, and talent, and that's the shape of our life. And what we do with that is a gift back to God. The next thing is that it's proportional. Now, if you like me and you like to see everything equal and everybody gets the same amount of candy or whatever, and you look at the parable, you realize, well, one servant's five talents and others two talents and others one. But here's the fact of the matter. Giving is not all equal, but we are all equal before God. And that's just the truth of life. I mean, I wish I could sing like Elvis, and I wish I all kinds of things. And you could spend a whole lifetime thinking about the gifts that you wish you had from someone else. But what we need to realize is we're all different. We're all diverse. And when we bring those gifts together, that's when the best of who we can be. And if you spend your whole lifetime sort of envying someone else's gifts, you'll never bless others with the gift that you have. And so giving is not all equal, but we are equal. And each servant was judged not by what the other servant was given, but what they were given. And so when we give to God, it's proportional. So some of us say we all have the same time, but what we do with that time is a proportion. We all have different financial levels of resources, but we're not judged by what someone else is given, but what we're given. And so if you think about a tithe, means 10%. We often think about 10% as a way to give back to the Lord. People think of different ways of doing that, whether it's gross or not or whatever. I think the important thing is that we're intentional about taking a percentage, a proportion of what we have and giving it back to God. You might not be able to give now what you could give down the road, but we're sort of intentional about the proportion, and so also our talents. How do we give back from the gifts that God's given us to minister to other people? We're not all called to be pastors or even members of the choir, though. I think there's a few more that are called that we need to have up here. What we do with ministry is not what we do, but how we do it. Ministry is not what we do, but how we do it. And so if you're a teacher or a plumber or a farmer, it doesn't matter. What we do is a ministry to others. And so if we do that and do it in proportion, so we all have time, treasure, and talents, and we can give back to God in a way. And then it's purposeful. And Paul says a number of places, but I think probably most pointedly in Ephesians 4, he says this about the purpose of the different gifts that be given to the church. He says this. What's the purpose? The gift so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then in Romans chapter 12, he says this. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a person's gift is prophesying, let them prophesy in proportion to their faith. If it is serving, let them serve. If it is teaching, let them teach. If it is encouraging, let them encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let them give generously. If it is leadership, let them lead diligently. If it is showing mercy, let them do it cheerfully. And we do all this not to earn God's love, but in return for God's love. So whatever your gifts are, there's a way that we can give back to God and we can bless others. And then here's a couple of truths to go with that. The first one is, use it or lose it. The one servant who buried the talent, you're talking about over $1 million, as this master said, you could at least put it in the bank and get a substantial amount of interest. Just buried it in the ground, really in some sense put risk. But there's some of us who take our talent, whatever it is, and we bury it in the ground. We don't use it to benefit others or to glory for God. And so there's a danger of losing it. If you think about that, the Stradivarius is the most valuable instrument in the world today. It was made by Stradivarius, and he handcrafted these violins. But if they're not played, they become worthless artifacts. The wood loses its tone. And so without that tone, without being played, without the oils really from being touched from human beings, then it becomes just a useless artifact. And if you think about our own lives, if we don't practice singing, we sort of lose the ability to sing. If we don't practice whatever sport we play, then we lose that. If we don't use our muscles, they weaken and atrophy, and they're good for nothing. On the other hand, if we exercise anything, it grows. And so if you put seed in the ground, it grows. If you exercise singing, you get better. If you exercise in sport, the same thing, we grow. And if we invest our gifts, our time, our treasure, our talents in it, then it grows. So use it or lose it, but exercise it, and it will grow. And so it's purposeful. We use it for God's glory. And here's a truth that I think is really important. Someone once said this, and I really think it's true. What you keep, you keep. But what you give, God blesses and multiplies. So just like the seed that farmers plant around here, you know, what you keep and sort of make for bread or whatever, that is yours. But what you plant, what you give, God takes that and blesses it and multiplies that in every area of our life, time, treasure, and talent. So the fourth point is really to be positive, to give cheerfully, and to just remind you what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And the word literally, sows generously and reaps generously, means with abundant blessing. Literally, abundant blessing. So if you sow with abundant blessing, you will reap with abundant blessing. And he goes on to say, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And you will be enriched in every way so that you can generously on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Wonderful truth. What you keep, you keep, but what you give, God blesses and multiplies, and our attitude counts. God loves a cheerful giver. The truth of the matter is God doesn't really need any of us for anything. God has the resources of people throughout the world, but God wants to involve all of us in some kind of ministry. And so all of us have opportunities to give our time. Think of the ways that we can take a moment out. You know, all of us, I hear over and over that we're all so busy. But sometimes we're out visiting some of the folks who are in their 90s or what have you, and they tell me about when they were plowing the ground behind a team of mules, and how many, you know, it was about, what, 3 or 4 acres a day that they had to do behind that. And you think about then people were canning, you know, vegetables and fruit for, you know, 12 hours a day for a week at a time, and those people had plenty of time. If they had all that time, then what are we doing with our time? The fact of the matter is that all of us have the same amount of time, and we always find ability to do the things that are most important. So what are we doing with our time? Sometimes it gets filled up with things that aren't so important, so we can make it a priority. All of us have treasure. All of us have financial resources. We may not have all of our lifetime earnings at one time given to us, but all of us will have a lifetime of our earnings, whatever that is. What are we doing with the proportion to bless others with? And all of us have talents. We have so many different talents that we're blessed with in so many different ways. And, of course, this is a giving church, and people use music and so many different things. But we can bless others for what we do. And so what we do matters. So when we think about that, those different areas that we are all blessed with talents, a lifetime of not just earnings, but time and treasure and talents that we're planned and we're proportional with how we give back to God, and we have a purpose in mind that we bless others and bless God, and that we're positive and cheerful. When we do that, then God blesses that. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, he said this, "Given it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now that imagery comes from a setting back in the laborers of the field during that time. When people were out in the field laboring, they used to carry wheat and other grain in big bushel baskets. And they would fill those bushel baskets up, and then they had to carry them a long way. It was very strenuous labor. But if the laborers were really good, and the master was generous, at the end of the day, and they'd worked hard, the master would come to them and say, "Listen, the last bushel that you carry is yours to keep." Now that bushel, you can imagine, was filled up, pressed down, shaken together to make sure all the air is out of there, pressed down some more, and running over, would you believe, because it was going home with them. And so Jesus is using this imagery, like Jesus is the master, and our Heavenly Father is the master, and when we work for him, he's saying, "Listen, with the measure that you've worked and how faithful you've been, you can take home something that is pressed down, shaken together, and running over that will bless you and your household." And so when you think about that, think about how we give to God and how it blesses others, and that God, we can never outgive God. At the close of this true story, back in the 17th century, there was a German pastor by the name of August Franke, and he had founded an orphanage in the city of Halle, and the orphanage was struggling, and so he didn't know what to do with all the financial needs. And one day, while he was thinking about that, an elderly Christian widow came to his door. And she said she was destitute, she didn't have any money, and she asked him for a ducat, which is a gold coin. And he said, "I'm very sorry, but I don't have any money to give. We're here at the orphanage, has a lot of needs." And with that, she began to weep, and she begged him to reconsider and pray and ask what God would have him to give. And he said, "Okay." He said, "I'm going to honor that." He said, "I want you to wait here. I'm going to go upstairs to my room. I'm going to close the door. I'm going to pray and see what God is doing in my heart." And so as he went upstairs, he prayed. And as he prayed, he felt God spoke to his heart to give this woman this gold ducat that she had asked for. So he gave it, thinking about it and that how much the orphanage needed. And 2 days later, he received a letter from this elderly woman who wrote and said that she was going to pray, because what he had done, she was going to pray that God would abundantly bless him and the orphanage. And he thought, "Well, that's nice." But that very same day, a wealthy lady came and gave him 12 ducats that very afternoon. And then if that were not enough, he found out a friend from Sweden sent him 2 ducats in the mail that he received. He was thinking about how wonderful all that was. And the next week, he found out they would receive 500 gold pieces of the estate of the Prince of Van Württemberg. And so he's blessed amply in return. Now, that won't always happen our way in that way, but God does bless what we give to him. And it's not true. Sometimes people say, "Well, if you give money, nothing will ever go wrong in your life." That's not really true. It's sort of the gospel prosperity. We will face challenge and adversity, but I believe God blesses us in ways that we'll never know. And when we give time and our treasure and our talents, that God blesses us, and we can never outgive God. So I challenge all of us to think today how we're using our lifetime, how we're using our lifetime of time, how we're using our lifetime of treasure, how we're using our lifetimes of talents to bless others and for generations to come. That's sort of a seed that's sowed, that we sow it in the right way, and that we can never outgive God. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we've all been blessed in so many ways, and as we think about this great parable, this great truth that Jesus taught us, help us to plant it deep in our hearts and minds, that it itself will bear fruit and grow in our hearts and lives. Help us to be thankful for the time and the treasure and talents you've blessed each of us with. And help us to be mindful, Lord, to give back so that your love will be known to other people, and that everything we do and say will bless others, and people will see your love, and your love will be known both near and far through your power and to your glory. Amen.